Okay, it is pretty much a formality at this point. The National League West is pretty buttoned up. The LA Dodgers, before the year here at Moose, were a $7 betting favorite to win the division. Right now, yeah, that's not a misprint. That's four zeros behind the two there. Minus 20,000 as they hold a 14-game lead over second-place San Diego. The Diamondbacks are 15 back, and then the Giants and Rockies are 22 and 23 games behind LA, respectively. Now, I show you this because we get to a much more palatable spot if you're looking at a make-the-playoffs price, or if you're looking to get a pretty significant number in the National League pennant odds. Let me start there, because the San Diego Padres present a really intriguing case study. And Mark, to be fair, this is a team that has still dealt with a fair amount of inconsistency. And I say that lightly, but I should be underlining it in bold and circling it in Sharpie. This offense for San Diego has left so much to be desired. Dead last in average, dead last in on base, OPS, runs scored. They're 22nd in homers, but hey, they're third in stolen bases. Whoop-de-doo. Okay. Is it viable, though? And again, we're all running down the Dodgers here in the National League. I think the Phillies, who we talked about, the Marlins, who have been hard charging here since June 1st, present some intriguing value. San Diego would be the only team I could look at just because of the players they have to even entertain a potential future, whether it be make the postseason or an NL pennant future, because I think I'd want to monetize at that point. I'll give you the floor, and we can move on if you're like, it's the Dodgers, and that's it, that's coming from the West. Is that kind of where you look at it as we sit here before we finish the first half of the regular season?
No, I think you have to look at, I think you have to look at San Diego. I wouldn't really look at anybody else. I mean, the Dodgers, I think we wake up on this Thursday, they've got 33 losses. The Giants and the Rockies have 38 wins, each of them, on the season. I mean, it is remarkable what the Los Angeles Dodgers have been able to do this year, and all they do is find ways to win. No, I think it's with San Diego. Listen, do I think Manny Machado is going to hit a .188 all season long? No, I don't think Manny Machado is going to hit a .188 all season long. And power's still there, but still, you know, the three true outcomes and analytics departments are celebrating, high-fiving each other all across this great country. But I think you got a general manager that remains aggressive. And, you know, they're 4.5 games back of the last wild card spot in the National League. So when you look at a San Diego team where Jensen, nothing has gone right for them offensively. Nothing. So you say, well, it's got to change. They can't be this bad offensively all season long. I mean, and maybe they end up being that way. But I think if you lean into San Diego, you say to yourself, well, it's got to look better in the second half. And if it does, and then I've got a general manager that I know is going to be aggressive at the MLB trade deadline, has no issue in trading guys down at the farm system to try and add. We've seen that time and time again, and gets creative. I think the San Diego Padres would be the only team to me that I'd be interested in talking about. I mean, there's no real conversation in terms of the division. The Dodgers are gone. But in terms of making the playoffs, yes, I would look at the San Diego Padres based on the aggressiveness of their ownership and really their front office, I should say, and the fact that they're sitting there at the 500 mark, and one aspect of their team has been remarkably inconsistent, and yet here they are, and they've given themselves an opportunity. Similar conversations that we have with a number of teams in the American League, Jensen, which we talked about earlier in the show, where, you know, even if you look at a team like the Tigers, you say, well, the Tigers are out of it. And then you look at the standings, you're like, no, they're not. They're not out of it. They could still have an opportunity to go out there and do it, not necessarily having to move Scooble. So San Diego would be in a team that I'd be intrigued by based on the fact that I think the offense will get better as this season goes along.
It's going to be an interesting trade deadline to see where the Padres are in about a month's time and where we are in that National League wild card race. All that being said, we've talked a lot about the Pittsburgh Pirates and how they have been one of those intriguing teams to look at as a potential wild card winner. Let's start looking at today's slate, a little bit of an afternoon affair that we have on the docket, as well as some night games to target. Let me sit here and give you what you already know. The Kansas City Royals have been a bad team. The New York Mets have been a really bad team. Yesterday, was an intriguing end for the New York Mets. You get to go ahead, run on a hit-by-pitch. You go and score a boatload more, and then you got to make it interesting in the ninth. But, hey, all's well that ends well. We got Michael Wacha. We got Sean Manaea, 110 Eastern first pitch. Moose, this to me screams over. The over nine would be a target for me. Mets are 24-16-5 to the over as a home team this year. I don't know about you. I know Michael Wacha is an all-star this year, but I believe that this is kind of right for the taking for both these offense to take advantage on getaway day. What say you?
I would agree with you. It also screams camp day out at Citi Field, like where you'll have all the campers out there as well. An afternoon affair. It's July, you know, two teams that aren't going anywhere. Today screams half day or half, you know, so I would agree with you, you know, put the jokes aside. You know, it was Young leaned into it a little bit when he got hit on the elbow to give the Mets the lead at that point in time. And that rally came in unbelievably enough with two outs, led off by a Francisco Lindor single, which got it going for the Mets in that eighth inning. So you look at this afternoon, I would agree, based on the pitching matchup, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. We've heard it time and time again across Major League Baseball. I think Kansas City will score some runs against a remarkably inconsistent Sean Manaea, and I think the Mets are going to get some runs here against Wacha. So I would imagine, in this game that we'll get over that number. So I'm in agreement with you, Jensen.
Okay, so again, another over that I think, just knowing where the weather is too, the Cubs and the Orioles have had no resistance against either side. They didn't last night. Another high-scoring affair, 9-7. The Cubs hold on and win that one over Baltimore. Series finale here. By the way, congrats to All-Star Pete Crow Armstrong. First Cubs since Slammin' Sammy Sosa in 1993 through 95 to have back-to-back seasons with 20 or more homers. He got it last night. And I would say we are ripe for the taking for more offense again there at Camden Yards. The Cubs are 11-5-1 to the over when they are a road dog, which they are this afternoon. It's David Peterson, former Met, getting the start against fellow left-hander Trevor Rogers. Rogers is going to be that guy that you look at and say, all right, can we finally get a win? Maybe not a win, but we could certainly find some offense. I think Baltimore will be able to get to the lefty Peterson here for what it's worth. Baltimore also 16-11-1 to the over as a home favorite, which they will be behind their ace in Rogers here this afternoon. 1:35 p.m. Eastern first pitch. Do we align on offense there in Charm City this afternoon, Moose?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, the Cubs are going for they've won 8 of 10, and they're going for the sweep of the Baltimore Orioles. Peterson, I think, is thanking his lucky stars that he's now a member of the Cubs away from the Mets. Ground ball pitcher defense in Chicago significantly better than it was with the Mets. So, but even with all that being said on the road, and he's been, you know, first half David Peterson a year ago was an all-star. He hasn't been that pitcher now in the better part of a year of Major League Baseball time. So I think he'll give up some runs down there in Camden Yards. You saw 16 runs in the middle game of this series. I don't know if we're necessarily going to get to that number, but I think the Cubs will get some off of Rogers as well. A high-scoring affair, wouldn't be a surprise at all if Chicago cracks out the brooms and sweeps away the Baltimore Orioles as a slight underdog this afternoon. But I think we're going to go over that number as well.
All right, from offense to maybe some pitching dominance, and we get an intriguing matchup in the Twin Cities. A big affair here between the Guardians and the Twins. Minnesota, a big win for them last night. They creep ever closer to the top of the American League Central. It's Gavin Williams on the mound for the Guardians. 1:40 p.m. Eastern is first pitch there. Bailey Ober going to come back off the IL here today, Moose. They are plus, this is a fascinating spot here. Plus $1.13 at Circa. The Twins are as a home underdog. And for what it's worth, the trend has been good to the under. The under 8.5 here between the Guardians and the Twins. Guardians are 11-6 to the under as a road favorite, which they are today. Again, shop around for your best price if you want to back Cleveland on the money line. $1.26 at Circa, $1.31 at DraftKings. I think we get some run prevention. Again, this has been two offenses that have been one or the other. The Twins have been very high scoring. The Guardians have struggled without Jose Ramirez to put up consistent offense. Moose, what say you about another big AL Central matchup here at Target Field?
Yeah, I kind of like Minnesota, you know, this afternoon. You look at Gavin Williams, he hasn't pitched particularly well as of late. You know, coming off a 4 2/3 inning performance against the Chicago White Sox, 5 hits, 3 runs. The start before that, he allowed 3 earned runs. His ERA in the month of June was a tad over 6. So you look at the Minnesota Twins in a wide open American League Central. We've spent some time talking about that division. And I understand why the Guardians are a slight favorite this afternoon. You're right, shop around for the best price. But just based on the way that Williams is throwing the ball right now, even with some of the injuries, with Buxton being out for the Minnesota Twins based on IL, I'm going to take Minnesota a little home cooking today at Target Field.
Minnesota, the most runs scored in the American League at 457, winners of 4 in a row, 7 of their last 10. They have closed within 2 games of the Chicago White Sox for the top spot in the Central. Guardians have lost 4 in a row, including 6 of their last 10.